Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has fulfilled her promise to radical LGBTQ activists and has introduced H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act. Believe me, if this becomes law, equality will be thrown out the window, and those who believe in what Scripture says about sexuality will be treated like second-class citizens. If passed, this law would amend the 1964 Civil Rights Act by striking the word sex and inserting sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity as protected classes. Then that would be throughout the federal code. This change would place sexual orientation and gender identity in the same protected classes as race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. But is this just a stepping stone to advance another radical agenda? My guest today is Linda Harvey. She's president of Columbus, Ohio-based Mission America. Thanks, Linda, for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me on, Diane.
So Pelosi kept her promise and introduced the bill. Who introduced it and who all sponsors? Co-sponsors of the bill.
Well, it's David Cicilline. I believe that's how you pronounce his name from Rhode Island.
I couldn't pronounce it either. That's why I threw the ball at you.
Yeah, right. He's pretty much in favor of this entire agenda.
Uh-huh.
I think that's part of his own personal history. And he's from Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are 240 co-sponsors right now, which means that it's going to pass.
Yeah,
and there are several that are Republicans. The only way we can make this not pass is if we put an enormous amount of pressure on Democrats in vulnerable districts and say, we will remember if you let this tyrannical, anti-Christian, immoral bill that will, as you said, make us second-class citizens and gravely threaten our children and our families. If you help make this become law, then we will remember. That's our only hope here. I think, you know, can we do enough in time? I don't know.
Yeah, I know that every one of the Pennsylvania Democrats in the delegation has their name on there as a co-sponsor. And one of the three Republicans who's on there as a co-sponsor is Brian Fitzpatrick from Bucks County. So he's one of the three. So, yeah,
that's really sad. I think we have to make examples of somebody if we can.
Yeah.
You know, target someone. You know, target in the civic action sense. Let me make that clear.
How
this is always misinterpreted.
Vote them out. Right.
Yes, voted out. Then we just have to pick somebody or several somebodies and just to let them know no, because this thing is so radical. There's got to be a lot of Democrats that will, once they know what's in this bill, they've got to be on the same side as the Republicans are in opposing this legislation.
Well, I would hope so, but the Democratic Party's become so radical in itself that especially some of the newer members of the House that I don't know. And with here in Pennsylvania, with the Pennsylvania Supreme Court redrawing our congressional districts to make them more Democrat-friendly, I can't think of any Democrats who were in a vulnerable, possibly one in the Pittsburgh suburbs, but they redrew that district too, and the conservative lost to the quote-unquote moderate Democrat last fall. So we'll see. But in essence, what it does, it hijacks the entire civil rights movement.
Yes, and the idea of sex.
Yeah.
Redefines sex in the entire federal code.
Yeah.
So this completely opens up the bathroom issue for everyone, and it completely changes what is will be forced to be taught in schools. I mean, we know now that they're in a lot of schools, the homosexual activists and gender confusion advocates, they're in a lot of schools. This will make it a certainty that they're in all schools teaching children these dangerous, immoral behaviors and essentially medical mutilation beginning in elementary school, that this is perfectly fine.
Which is scary. Yeah, it's in like, I was going to write down the names of the committees, but it's in like three or four or five committees, of which one of them is the education committee. So, yeah, it will have a terrible impact on the public schools. I mean, it's time for Christians to pull their kids out of public school anyway, but if this passes, it should be the message to Christian parents that they got to pull their kids out. I thought the whole bathroom thing would do it, and that hasn't seemed to have, I mean, it's made them mad, but they haven't necessarily pulled their kids out.
Right. You're absolutely right. It is way past time for people to wake up and see how damaging this is. You can't unring this bell once your children are learning some of this perversion and they are sexualized early. It is very hard to change what's happened when kids are corrupted. Yeah.
Now, surely, though, the Democrats are allowing some kind of religious exemption to protect people like Jack Phillips and Baronelle Stutzman. I mean, surely they're protecting those individuals, right?
No, wrong. Specifically in this bill is the denial of religious exemptions and religious freedom. They specifically name the RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, as not being an adequate defense for this bill. And they also go even further and they deny any kind of therapy for changing same-sex attractions. And that, and they won't allow any kind of religious exemption for that either. So the only thing that might happen, and this really should show everybody exactly what kind of tolerance these folks intend to practice and what kind of respect they have for you and I and millions and millions of Americans and families and children. But they, what may happen is this is being set up as a compromise so that the Republicans who are squishy will amend this, put in a religious exemption, and they can say, well, you know, they can run for cover in their districts saying, well, I voted for it because we got a religious exemption in. Isn't that wonderful that we did that? No religious exemption is going to fix this. Lobbyists have made it clear over and over and over again that they will take it to court and force us to teach this. And just plow right over us.
Yeah. Because especially if it's in there that you cannot use the RFRA as a means of defense for your deeply held religious beliefs, then that's really any kind of compromise would not be a compromise. It'd just be totally giving in to it'd just be whitewashed, basically. It'd just be kind of veneer as to what is really in this bill and what will happen. And like you're saying, right, the squishy Republicans would do this and hide behind it when they vote for it and when they go back to their districts and say, well, I tried. And the only reason I supported it is because they had this religious exemption.
And it doesn't help public accommodations and boys in girls' restrooms, showers and locker rooms, because there's no, you know, Christian parents aren't running ahead of their daughters and saying, wait, you can't come in here in public schools.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain situations in public pools, certain situations in which the danger is presented so quickly, and these folks will be able to do that because they will have open access, and it's going to be a mess, a complete mess.
Well, yeah, I mean, right now we have teachers being fired because he won't comply with a student's demand that he be called a she. I mean, yeah, we've reached that point in this country, and it's unbelievable how quickly we've reached that point. Like within just the last, three or four years? Really, since Obergefell, that's when we've seen the great escalation in pushing the transgender agenda. And it's just unbelievable that Americans, not necessarily Christians, but that Americans are allowing this to happen without a whole lot of pushback. It's just unbelievable. But it's interesting that the former Log Cabin Republicans President Gregory Angelo wrote an op-ed piece in the Washington Examiner saying that the Equality Act is dangerous for their movement. Because basically, as you and I have been talking about all the dangers to religious expression, he's saying that passage of the Equality Act would make liars out of the lot of us. It would put the nonprofit status of religious charities at risk. It would force mom-and-pop businesses to participate in same-sex marriage ceremonies. And it would flout bedrock principles that have served as a foundation of the American experience for centuries. And that's his take on it. And he's definitely not, you know, one of us. But he recognizes it. He knows that it would, in essence, hurt their cause if this were to become law.
Right. So, and one of the other things is that the transgender issue tacked on to the homosexuality issue does, I think, give, it's so radical that I think there are a lot of reasons why people should oppose this. That's why it's so stunning that so many Democrats have signed on to this. There've got to be Democrats in more conservative districts where if people knew, the problem is people don't know.
Well, that's true. It sounds nice. Equality. It sounds nice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They just don't know that's one of those words that's been hijacked by the LGBT movement.
they think it's about, you know, people getting jobs, and they think, oh, well, it's, you know, people should be able to get jobs. It's not about getting jobs.
No.
You know, there's no problem with people having jobs the vast majority of the time now. That is not what is being the goal of this legislation.
That's for sure. It's crazy. Well, you wrote an article recently about this bill saying passage could lead to pedophilia. How were you connecting the dots on that?
Well, the reason is because of how many gains have been made already through courts and through simply pushing this into the school systems, that it'll be a very short leap for not, you know, adults to impose that on children, for based on the so-called rights of children to be, quote, unquote, LGB or T,
okay. Mm-hmm.
There will be people that will say, well, the 13-year-old, really, you know, he's in love with his student teacher who's 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, what's wrong with you people that age of consent can't be bent to allow him to do that? After all, he's allowed to consent now to many kids in states like Oregon and others to medical consent to hormone treatments and surgery. So why not sex
take
with
it.
An adult from the standpoint of the child?
You know, more and more. In fact, there's a bill here in Harrisburg that would mandate comprehensive sex education, and it also would have a consent component to that.
Exactly.
And you see that more and more, that whole consent thing. I thought it was illegal in every state in the union for an adult to have sex with a minor, no matter whether the minor consents or not.
Well, it is. There are lower ages of consent, such as Rhode Island. It's 14 in some cases. And so you don't have very much to go beyond that. But it doesn't matter if it's illegal. The comprehensive sex education people are already teaching kids, starting in middle school, that they have the right to say no to sex. Well, the other aspect of that consent issue is they have the right to say yes.
Right, exactly.
And children do not have the right to say yes to sex. They're not supposed to be involved in sexual activity.
Right, but they're being told they have a right to say yes or no.
Right.
That's basically what consent.
And we think of it as defensive and protecting kids because of the no part. We forget about the other side, which Planned Parenthood and the LGBT people love the other part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that they don't tell the parents about, for sure. Yeah, there's an article in the current issue of the American Journal of Bioethics, which includes an argument that the state should overrule the parents of transgender children who do not consent to give them puberty-blocking drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And if this law passes, parents would have no say at all.
Exactly. It'll be like this case in Cincinnati that happened last year where the parents lost custody to the grandparents who did approve of that treatment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The grandparents should know better.
Well, you would think so, but not in this case.
Wow. I know Cincinnati was a recent case, but I know there's other situations, too, where similar things are going on, where parents are losing custody or there's a divorce and one. I think there's in Minnesota there was a divorce and the dad didn't want I can't remember whether it's a daughter or son, to go through the quote-unquote transition, and the mother did, and it was a mess. But as we see this advancing and we see the dangers of the Equality Act, what you're saying, that people need to go through, they need to read what it really says, not just look at the nice-sounding title Equality Act and assume that it is good.
Right. It's H.R. 5 in the House, and it is S. 788 in the Senate. Of course, the Senate, we haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah.
Hopefully Mitch McConnell would not bring it up for a vote, but it already has 40-some co-sponsors in the Senate.
What?
So, yes, and so this is very dangerous,
dangerous,
because we don't have much of a majority.
No.
Republicans don't. I think all of them have signed on.
I know Bob Casey is a co-sponsor. I know Bob Casey is, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back to the religious exemption thing, surely there are religious groups, I would think, would oppose this Equality Act. Are there any that have come on board and said this is a good idea?
I don't know about the specific Equality Act, but the National Association of Evangelicals made a statement before it was introduced, and this was last year before the election, the Democrats took the House. They were saying they've come to a compromise of understanding with the LGBT people that they support certain aspects of non-discrimination, and that's what this is.
Okay.
And so I don't know. I, there's maybe somebody knows something different than me. I haven't seen anything specifically supporting this act. I don't think they realized how radical it was going to be.
And I don't think they realized they can't compromise with these people. I mean, these
people cannot.
No, they have one goal in mind, and that is to make everyone comply and everyone to celebrate their lifestyle. That is their intention.
And it's not needed. It's not needed. People have rights now for employment based on immutable characteristics or the goodness of religious faith. You do not need the defense of your private sexual behavior and lifestyle where you are forcing others to acknowledge it and respect it. That's what happens with the goal is to silence any objection.
Exactly.
That's the real goal.
Yeah, that is exactly the goal. Because, you know, people like Jack Phillips and other ones who have been sued, they served homosexual customers. And that wasn't good enough. They had to also celebrate their so-called marriage with a wedding cake. And that's, again, yeah, like you said, it's just the idea is that they're pushing their agenda and there will be no, you will comply or else. That's what it happened.
Right.
Yeah, what's we're facing here. So recently in Columbus, this is on the transgender issue, which recently in Columbus, an elementary school, there was a little bit of parents got upset over a certain situation. So kind of give us some information on that.
There's a big suburb of Columbus called Upper Arlington, which tends to be kind of, you know, slightly right of moderate. So it's kind of, you know, sort of Republican. They're not known for activism.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of astonishing that what happened was an elementary school first grade class was notified the 4 p.m. one day that the next day at 1 p.m., so they had less than 24 hours notice, a story was going to be read to the kids called Who Are You? A Kid's Guide to Gender Identity, because there was a classmate who was so-called transitioning. So all the kids in this class were going to be notified of this. Well, the word went out, and the school board and the school, you know, the phone lines were melted down. They were basically, they just were overwhelmed. And so they backed off, and then so the school said, we will, there's no opt-out in this original notice. So then they said, we're going to delay it 3 days, and we will give parents an opt-out. The next notice that went out said, we're not reading the book at all.
Okay.
What they did do was announce in class to the kids, so-and-so, this child is now wants to be called she and her. It's a boy.
And this is first grade.
First grade.
Wow.
So that's bad enough, but at least the kids weren't given, the counselor was going to be coming in, they were going to make a big deal out of this. And this is a book by this radical group called Gender Spectrum.
It's one of their books.
Yeah, so it's a very radical book that says things like, you know, when you were born, your mommy and daddy with the, your parents, with the doctor just guessed as to whether you were a boy or girl.
Goes
on to say, well, you're the one who knows yourself what you are now. You know, it's inaccurate. It's not factual.
To say the least. I mean, I would like to know what they're teaching in biology now in high school.
Right.
This whole gender was assigned at birth. That is so ludicrous, that whole concept. But yet, people say it with a straight face, like, where'd you come from?
Yeah.
So do you think, as you look at the situation, looking specifically at the schools, do you think that it is safe anywhere in this country for parents to send their child to public school?
Well, I wouldn't, I'm not knowing every single school district.
Well, that's
district,
true.
I do believe there are some that are still holding on to vestiges of not just conservatism on this and factual basis, but also some respect for Christianity and America. You know, that's the other part that they get in school. But for the most part, no. I mean, if I were raising children today, I would have them in Christian school or homeschool best of all options, quicker than anything. I mean, I would not, because I sent my kids to public school, and it was quite a while ago. But it was a nightmare then. You had to watch all the time.
Yeah.
What was being taught and fight, and I was in many, many battles over this with a number of other parents. So, they should take their kids out of public schools if they can.
Because a lot of times they find out after the fact something's been taught to their child.
Right.
And like you said, that information or those pictures cannot be taken away from the child's memory.
Right, and that and the relationships have already been established where the student has learned to respect these voices, these adult mm-hmm. voices. And so when mom says, no, you can't believe that much, the child is totally confused about the issue of authority, plus all the other stuff.
And in fact, some of the lessons are actually teaching kids, I think California, maybe Colorado too, because I know they just passed that outrageous law about sex ed. But in mm-hmm. some of the classes, the kids are actually being taught not to listen to your parents because they're basically old fuddy-duddies.
Very much so.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, back to the Equality Act. So there's 40-plus co-sponsors in the Senate, S-788, and there's 240 co-sponsors in the House. So what we need to do, we know in Pennsylvania, Bob Casey is a co-sponsor. He's a proud co-sponsor of this. Pat Toomey is very iffy on this issue. And we know that 10 of our 18 congressmen are co-sponsors of the House bill. So we have an uphill battle to try to do something here in Pennsylvania. So basically, we need to contact our senators and our congressmen to tell them no, not to support these bills.
Yeah. Even if you can't sway them, the goal should be make them extremely uncomfortable so that there may be, God can do amazing things.
Well, he can.
And this is so radical. They may be looking for an out. You never know. There may be somebody who's read this and says, wow, this thing is going to go down in flames. And they may be looking for an out. So don't give up.
Well,
do make those phone calls.
I'm mentally going down through the list of all the radicals who were elected to the House last November. I'm thinking, I don't think any of those will be uncomfortable with this bill. But anyway, we can give it a try.
Because
we have to, like you say, we have to, even though they don't change their mind, they have to know that there are people, that there are voters out there who are not pleased with their support of this bill. So we can't give up on that whole situation. So anyway, how can folks contact you?
Well, our website is missionamerica.com. And we have a radio show here in Ohio that goes from Columbus, and there's information about that on our website. So missionamerica.com.
Okay. Plus, are you still writing for WorldNet Daily?
WorldNet Daily, LifeSiteNews.com, BarbWire.com, and on and on. There's a number of other places.
Okay, good. Fantastic. But your main website is missionamerica.com.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Sounds good. Hey, keep up the good work, and take care.
Oh, well, you too, Diane. Thanks for all you do.
Okay. Hey, take it easy. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.